in the Bible and even outside the Bible. Was it Amos 3:7? I don't do nothing unless I tell, God is saying, I don't do anything unless I tell my servants, the prophets. Okay. So God tells his side what's going to be happening, and the enemy from their side tells us what's going to be happening. So why do we shun what the enemy is telling us they're going to do to us, or their understanding of things? Oh, that's other devils. So we slam the door shut, or we throw the baby out with the bathwater, and my people then become perish for lack of knowledge because they don't understand what the enemy is telling them. You know, if we're so close to nuclear war here with Russia, keep poking the bear to the point where the bear has no other recourse but to lash out. And this is what the serpent seed wants for this nation and the Western nations of the world, is nuclear annihilation. They want to provoke World War III because as one of the aftermath consequences is the rise of the Antichrist. This should be 101 understanding of scriptures even. And yet there's a lot of Christians who don't get it, don't understand it, maybe don't even study it. They stick their heads totally in the New Testament, total exclusion of the Old Testament. And so they don't have a historical overview, a historical understanding. They certainly don't understand the dual seed lines of Genesis 3:15, or maybe they do on the sanitized version, right, but not the in-depth version. And they maybe have some understanding of the devil, you know, and his fallen angels, but they don't, they only have the sanitized version, not the in-depth version that would maybe even save their souls from what's coming. So the Deagle Report, 90% of the United States is gone. You better get right with God because this thing could trigger at any time. We don't have a long time anymore. And the Cold War era is being transitioned into a hot war, and they want it to happen. Putin, I believe, is Cool Hand Luke type, or holding off as long as he can because he understands the devastation that would happen. He knows that there's a lot of good people over here in the United States, still a lot of good people here that don't deserve this outcome. There's some way that he could eliminate the leadership, and only the leadership, and allow us to re-elect new leadership. That would be the ideal, but that's an ideal. It's not going to happen that way because the serpent seed has a lockdown on this nation because the church has gotten in bed with the serpent seed and allowed the serpent seed to run roughshod. We have given, the church has given the serpent seed a blank check to do whatever they want to do because after all, they're the chosen ones. But when you read the Old Testament prophets, from the minor ones to the major ones and in between ones, God himself is anti-Semitic. And look what Jesus said face to face to the serpent seed. Again, Matthew 23, John 8, John 10. Jesus himself is anti-Semitic. And he got what he deserved, didn't he? Okay? From their perspective. But we can again read, payback will be 10 to 100 times worse than what they've inflicted. The only way out of that judgment is through Jesus Christ. But if you insist on your pride and disobedience, you will get the full brunt of the day of the Lord. And it will be total darkness. There will be no light in it. Okay, so if you're a loving father and loving mother, but sometimes you have to come down on your kids. Sometimes you have to spank them. Sometimes you have to say no, period. So sometimes your children are going to see your bad side. See the side that you would prefer that they don't see if only they would obey. But they don't always obey, right? And so sometimes you have to show them your bad side. In this case, where God is unleashing against the wicked, it's not against his children, where he might chastise them from time to time, even inflict some judgments on them from time to time, but his wrath is stored up for the wicked. So those who inflict this 90% elimination of the people of the United States of America, and I would assume that would include, you can't just cut this nuclear annihilation off at the border with Canada or at the border of Mexico. It's going to spill over. So imagine what the wicked are going to get. Those who inflict this against the United States, Canada, Mexico. Just like in the Old Testament, where God would bring a nation up against his nation of Israel or Judah as his judgment. And then his further judgment would be against that nation that he brought up against his people. There would be an additional judgment poured out upon that nation when its time had come. So we read about that in Babylon and Daniel and other books, hauling away people of Judah, the ones they didn't kill, okay, hauling away as captives for 70 years, right? But at the end of that 70 years, go from Nebuchadnezzar to his great-great, whatever, grandson Belshazzar, right? And that same night, Belshazzar was killed. That same night, the writing on the wall, judgment had come against the nation of Babylon. So as much as the United States has been like Babylon to other nations of the world, inflicting evil and wicked things against other peoples of other nations, judgment will come upon the United States of America, even in spite of the remnant that's still here, remnant of true believers, who would never do that kind of thing to other peoples of the world. Well, either God will quicken those people, his remnant, out of their flesh bodies, that Jesus will instantaneously, before nuclear annihilation hits the remnant, okay, Jesus will quicken them out of their flesh bodies to forever be with him in paradise. And they won't even feel the pain. They won't even feel the atomization of their flesh bodies. They'll be quickened out. You might say a raptured type of situation. And then there'll be those who are supernaturally protected. God knows how to supernaturally protect. So out of the remnant, there'll be a remnant who are still here to carry out his plan, his final plans of redemption unto the lost. And that's what we get into, like the book of Revelation and stuff. Matthew 24, those kinds of things. There will still be a remnant here, 144,000 perhaps, okay, to be as witnesses, but also to inflict judgments. So we read about like Isaiah and some of the other prophets where God empowered whatever came out of their mouths. God totally, fully empowered every word that came out of their mouths. He trusted them to that extent that he could trust whatever word came out of their mouths. God would fulfill it as though it came out of his mouth. Think of that kind of power, folks, the 144,000. But he's not going to select somebody who comes to decisions wrongly. It has to be in complete righteousness and fairness of God himself. Okay, so those are some things from Scripture. The only way out of the judgments, God's judgments against various peoples in the Old Testament, in our New Testament era, the only way out is through his amnesty program, through his son, Jesus Christ. And the only way out of this closed loop reality, this fallen one third, the only way out, again, is through Jesus Christ. The only way out. If you're still here in this closed loop reality, you're either here on assignment, like the 144,000, for example, or you're here to be condemned for all eternity in a closed loop reality. Closed loop reality. Closed loop reality. Whatever. Imagine all the horror movies that Hollywood's put out for the last umpteen years, right? All the horror movies, all the types of sicko, psycho, and aliens and everything, amp that up a million times of what a closed loop reality would be like in hell in the lake of fire. Doesn't even come close to the Hollywood movies. So if you get squeamish about watching Children of the Corn, for example, you definitely want to get saved and covered by the blood, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, because it's going to be that on steroids in hell and lake of fire kind of thing. And every other horror movie of Hollywood. See, they're telling us the truth. They're telling us the truth, what you're going to be afflicted by for all eternity if you don't repent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's move on. I want to move on to something interesting. This is on a website called 100%fedup.com. 100, that's 100%fedup.com. A recent article called Executive Order 14067, the third and final U.S. currency earthquake has started. On March 9th, 2022, President Biden quietly signed Executive Order 14067. Buried inside this order is a sinister provision that could give the government unprecedented control over your money and freedom. First of all, folks, what we think as our money is not our money. The money that you have in your wallet, in your bank account, savings account, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, it's not your money. Get that through your head. Whose name is on it? It's printed on every Federal Reserve note. Who owns those notes? The Federal Reserve. It is their constitutionally protected private property. And as a protected private property, they can do whatever they want with their own property. Can they not? If they want to cash in their chips and go home and let everybody else hold in the bag, they can do it. What a bunch of suckers we've been. There's a sucker born every minute. I'd suggest there's a sucker born every second in this country. We've all bitten the bait, hook, line, and sinker with the Federal Reserve. From you know who, the usual suspects, the serpent seeds, steal the Edomites to steal back from Jacob. Jacob's blessings, Jacob's rights, Jacob's ownerships of things, to steal it all away from us through trickery. See, that's what happened. That's the unconfessed sin of Jacob, one of them maybe, of Jacob, that he swindled his brother Esau through deceptive means. Jacob was the seed of the promise. He did not have to do what he did to obtain God's provision to accomplish the seed of the promise purpose on this earth. God would have provided for Jacob and his seed. Jacob and his mother did not have to hatch a conspiracy and through deceit steal the rights of the firstborn away from Esau. So the Esau, the lineage of Esau and the Edomites to this very day have never forgotten nor have forgiven. And now there have been the last over 100 years in the active process, the Federal Reserve, of stealing everything back in all fiat currencies that they control of other nations, stealing back unto themselves what they believe Jacob stole from them. And now we're going to get it up our wazoo and in spades when it all comes crashing down because we believe the lie. Back in 1913, we believed the lie of the serpent. That's really simple, folks. The United States government, from its very inception, through the House of Representatives, is supposed to come up with spending bills, and then they vote on it, and then get it passed to the Senate, so they can reject, gets back to the reps, and they iron it out, send it back to the Senate. So once they come into agreement, then it has to, whatever, okay, especially the spending bills, and a budget, then they have to send it to the president. He rejects it, then it has to go back through that whole process of voting, and if they get a two-thirds majority, then it passes. If it doesn't, then they have to go back to the ironing boards, chalkboard. But if the president signs off, then it becomes law, okay, kind of in a nutshell. Then, once a budget gets passed, it gets supposed to sent to the Treasury Department, and then the Treasury Department cranks up the printing presses, so to speak. Okay, so back in that era, though, we had gold, and silver. We didn't have a nationwide paper currency at the time, if I remember correctly, that was gold and silver. But try carrying a big bag of gold or silver around the country, you know, or a trunk full of it, you know, and expect not to get robbed. Okay. So, or, you know, gold and silver, it gets pretty heavy. So it becomes impractical at a certain level of carrying around gold and silver coins. So, i.e. the banks come in. So you deposit your gold, silver at Bank A. And then you're going over to this other town. So you get a certificate from that Bank A that says you deposited so much gold and or silver. So you go over to Bank B in another city over the yonder because you're going to do business over there. So you present your certificate to that bank to get your gold and silver from them and then take that to buy what you're going to buy from whoever, right? And then go home. Well, even that became cumbersome. So, you know, so it became more, we'll just start passing on back and forth these certificates, these receipts. Okay. It's good to go. Here's my receipt. Well, so they got the notion that, you know, even that becomes cumbersome, shuffling paper back and forth without a unifying nationwide approach to things. So the dark powers of be are oftentimes wiser than the children of light in the affairs of the world, right? Jesus himself said that, paraphrasing. And so they came up with a plan to unify as a unifying umbrella to all member banks that would join up with the Federal Reserve. Okay, so I remember in my growing up days, there were banks who were not members of the Federal Reserve System. They were independent banks. But as things move forward, from even my year, early years onward, more and more pressure was applied for even those independent banks to join the Federal Reserve System. Pressure is put on, you can't be independent anymore. You got to join or sell out or go under. Okay. You see, the United States government has within the constitutional boundaries, they would pass the budget on to the Treasury Department. And in our modern day era, then they would send them to the Treasury Department, which would then crank up the printing presses to crank out United States notes, not Federal Reserve notes. So what did the Federal Reserve do? The serpent seed, the Edomites, became the middleman. It'd be like, let's say you have a legitimate, 100% legitimate, lawful, and legal printing press in your basement. And you can print up all the money you need to buy this, buy that transaction, you know, whatever you want to do. You can print up all the money you want, you ever need, right there in your basement, and never owe a debt to anybody. But some shyster comes to your door one day and say, hey, you know, I know it takes a lot, you know, machinery can break down, and then you got to look for parts and fix it yourself and everything. And then you got the inks, you got specialized paper and on, you know, we can help you free up all your time doing that. And we'll provide that service for you for a fee, of course, because we're not doing this for free. We're not doing this for free because we love you so much. We're doing it to make money. But why would a sovereign government of the United States of America has a sovereign, the right, the constitutional right and duty to provide sovereign funding for all governmental needs, right down to the citizens, to conduct business by printing their own money? Why go through third party? So they're the middleman. They inserted themselves into the middle of the equation, and they're sucking us dry. And that's why we became a debt-based economy, to the point where we'll never, ever in a million years get out of the debt, these $34 trillion in, well, what is it, a trillion every month? So that they're spending money like a drunken sailor, right? Because they know there's no way, even back in Obama time, there's no way you can ever pay all this off. And that's just the national debt. It's not counting, you know, state debt, county debt, city debts, pension debts. And then on corporate levels, you got credit default swaps, leverage buyouts, derivatives. Derivatives are like betting against the bet, against the bet, against the bet, against the bet. You can never pay it off. There's not enough money in the entire world to pay off the derivatives alone, just the derivatives. The derivatives mess. So when that house of cards comes down, it all comes down. Everything goes down. Except for those nations who have wisely gone to gold for international trading and or silver, but mostly gold. That's why a lot of the nations, you got Russia, China, they foresaw this coming. India has traditionally been a gold country, and they got so much gold over there, they give it away as wedding presents. Just gifting people with gold. It's just amazing over there. Gold, gold, gold. Okay, so they're well positioned. And the BRICS nations that are signing up to be a BRICS, okay, switching over to gold and or direct commodities like good old horse trading days, right? Getting away from fiat currencies because they've recognized, rightfully so, the deception of the serpent seeds fiat currency scam. Except we here in the United States. Oh, a few of us have woken up, but the majority of people are sleepwalking unto death. It's the only game in town, so why rock the boat, right? As long as I'm getting my needs, my dream, my American dream is going the way I envision it, why rock the boat? Well, the boat's going to be rocked, and it's going to be sunk, whether you like it or not. You're going to have the best laid plans, the best business plan on the planet, and you're going down. You're going to lose everything because that's the plan. That's the master plan. You're going to lose everything. Look at Warren Buffett. Was this past week? A massive loss. Just on, what was it, one trade or something? Just a massive loss. He didn't see it coming. Okay, kind of thing. Warren, get a heads up here. You might be a billionaire, but they're coming for you. They're going to take it all away, Warren. And then what are you going to do? Poorer than that person in the alley, the back alley, under the bridge, out in the forest. You're going to be as poor as them, maybe worse. Because you've lived a cherished life. Yeah, you've worked hard. You've had your plans. But you're going down. The best friends you could make right now are poor people who know how to get by on nothing or next to nothing, because that's what you're going to be left with. And Bill Gates, once the master elite of this world are done with him, he's going to become food for some of his own creations, Franken creations, okay? So why as a nation, see this national debt, $34 trillion, is all smoke and mirrors, but it's designed to steal from Jacob back onto Esau. And they've nearly succeeded. They're so close to completely destroying this nation. The workaround, the solution is to go back to constitutional-based monetary system. And so instead of the printing presses printing Federal Reserve note, they would be printing United States note, forever banning the Federal Reserve, revoking their charter, and confiscating all their properties and all their wealth and returning it to the public treasury. Okay, so we have the means in this country to change this around, but they're not going to do it because our Congress is bought and paid for or compromised beyond them telling the truth or doing the rightful thing. If any of them do, they're immediately demonized as being anti-Semitic or, compromised some way. So it's either get on board the bandwagon here or we're going to destroy you. So the solution, again, is have the Department of Treasury print up United States notes that we, the people, own as a sovereign wealth. To have a clean slate would be a proper solution if it could ever be enacted that way. But here's what the government's going to do. Buried inside this order is a sinister provision that could give the government unprecedented control over your money and freedom. In fact, this provision sets the stage for legal government surveillance of all U.S. citizens. Of course, not the illegal aliens. Of course, they're free to do whatever they want to do, the illegal aliens. But it's the citizens that get monitored because they're the threat to the United States government. Total control over your bank accounts and purchases, not just bank accounts, your IRAs, 401ks, stocks, bonds, everything financial. Total control, even over what you purchase. You want that extra widget? Sorry, denied. You need some extra food for you? Sorry, it's rationed. And continuing on, and the ability to silence all dissenting voices for good. You don't like our program? Too bad. It's no wonder Fox News called this a deeply troubling development. Even Fox News realizing this. Still, most Americans have never even heard of Executive Order 14067. That's why today Jim Rickards, a world-renowned economist and former advisor to both the CIA and the Pentagon. This is no small person here. Jim Rickards, an advisor to the CIA and the Pentagon. He's dealing with the big fish, the big boys, you know, has sounded alarm on this troubling new development. And his critical presentation reveals the shocking truth about Biden's executive order and why it's a direct threat to the freedom of every single American citizen, but not to the illegal aliens. Okay. In fact, you know what, folks? Maybe we should all leave the country and then come back in through the southern border or the northern border as illegal aliens, and we get everything free and all of our freedoms back. Huh? What should we do that? We're in for a major upheaval of the U.S. dollar. Well, of course we are. In fact, I predict a third great dollar earthquake has already started. The first was Roosevelt confiscating private gold in 1934, which was a blatant unconstitutional act. Roosevelt, blatant, in-your-face, unconstitutional act. So why did he get away with it? Well, this was during the Depression. Even if you were surviving through that, you didn't know how long it would last. I mean, you might have had friends or business friends, business associates that took the hit. And they hit hard. They got hit hard, right? And so you don't know how long this is going to last, this Great Depression, or how deep it will go. You don't know right now, today, you're sitting okay, but you don't know about tomorrow. You don't know about next year. Even if you're a Fortune 100 corporation, you don't know. Because, you know, a good chunk of the U.S. population now can't buy your widgets, even though you're Fortune 100, 500, they can't buy your widgets. And so that means a decreased sales. That means you have to lay off people and shut some factories down. And then that creates an ever downward spiral. At what point does the downward spiral, this black hole that opened up in the economy, consume the entire economy? So even if you're Warren Buffett, you take the hit. And you go down hard because you're not, even if you're a billionaire, you have to be a trillionaire to survive this kind of thing. That means you have to be one of the world's controllers, the serpent seed. If you're not, even if you're a billionaire, there's only two classes of people in the future. So even if you're a billionaire and you can throw your weight around and buy elections, if you're not a sovereign, you will be designated as a slave, and everything that you have will be taken from you, even if you're a billionaire, even if you're Donald Trump, even if you're Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, with all their billions. They're nothing but a slave to the trillionaires. Are you getting this, folks? So Roosevelt did something that was blatantly in your face, unconstitutional, because in the middle of this Great Depression, nobody know how long, you know, you could put your money into fighting this, but you don't know the government has, even today, an army of lawyers, attorneys, and forever deep pockets So good luck fighting the government in court, right? And who's going to take that gamble, not knowing when the depression is going to last or it's going to end or what's going to happen, war rumblings in Europe, who knows, you know, you're going to gamble. So you go with the flow. The second was Nixon abandoning the gold standard in 1971. So the nation, even though the gold was confiscated from private possession by Roosevelt, the nation as a nation was still holding on to the gold. What was it, $35 an ounce, right, back in the day? But abandoned it in 1971. So why did they abandon it? Could it be that the gold wasn't there anymore? Did Esau steal all our gold in Fort Knox and other places, but mostly Fort Knox that we're aware of? You know, Fort Knox is supposed to be the gold depository of the United States. And what's there now? What shines like gold is not necessarily gold. It'd be gold-plated lead bars for all we know, right? Now, he says, Biden's plan could pave the way for retiring the U.S. dollar and replacing it with this disturbing new alternative. And this is not some far off pipe dream. This is happening right now. That's what this guy is saying. Okay, so if he's been doing business with the CIA and Pentagon, those are not the small fish. Those are the big fish, the big boys, the movers and shakers that this Jim Rickards has been dealing with. So when he says this is happening now, you can take that to the bank, but maybe you shouldn't because the banks are going down. So maybe you keep it in a coffee can and you're buried in your backyard. It would be safer. Executive Order 14067 already gives President Biden unprecedented power over the future of the U.S. dollar, he says. And sadly, most Americans will be completely caught off guard by it. And do you think brain-dead Biden would necessarily know what he's doing or agreeing to if he would embark upon this executive order? Brain dead Biden, okay, can't find his backsides with both hands, okay, can't get two words out without stumbling, mumbling and stumbling, okay. So who's really controlling him? President Jill, his wife, President Obama, the communist deep state, right? The serpent seed controlling him, pulling his strings. He's not his own person, folks. That's why Mr. Rickards released this, okay, new must-see presentation, which explains in detail how you can prepare for this critical event now. Okay, so I all these preparations, getting your old gold, silver, what to do, you know, ultimately, let's say you've got mansion, you got a 20-foot wall, rock wall around your mansion and everything. You own it stock, lock, and barrel, and you got 50 calibers mounted here and there and landmines and everything. Well, so what? When the tanks show up at your front door, you're going to whip out your copy of the Constitution and Bill of Rights? When the tank is busted through your front door, the SWAT team comes through, or soldiers, SWAT teams, you know, and shoot everybody and everything in sight, you're going to whip out your Constitution, Bill of Rights, your copy? Like that's going to make any difference to these people? They couldn't care less. Okay. They've already taken over the country. So what do they care about you and your adherence to the rule of law? Now, here's the giveaway is 14067. What does that add up to? 1 + 4 = 5 + 6 = 11 + 7 = 18 and 1 + 8 = 9. The 9 stones of Lucifer. This executive order is the perfect Luciferian takedown of this nation through its monetary means, its money system. Since 1913, the Federal Reserve note has always been the Luciferian satanic monetary system. And now this executive order is the final cherry on top of the ice cream or cake, what have you. It's the final verdict, the final culmination of the full takedown of this nation by Lucifer himself and his minions, his serpent seed and their cutouts and paste outs and wannabes. 14067 is the ultimate takedown, and it's coming to a neighborhood near you sooner than any of us expect. It's only going to be the mercy of God that delays this. but eventually it will happen. So I want to bring that to your attention. There is a way out through constitutional means. Our founding forefathers, that's why the powers that be don't want us to learn our history. Tear down all the monuments, get rid of all the older history books, and get the new sanitized versions of American history. Do away with all the Civil War stuff so we don't remember what happened back then, the Civil War, what led up to it, during and after it. And guess what, folks? There were slaves in the North, too. Were any of them freed? Is that the real reason the North went to war against the South, was to free the slaves, when the North had their own slaves? Talk about blatant hypocrisy. I suggest otherwise. That was the cause, wave the flag cause to get the North to, to back the war effort against the South. All those evil Southerners, those slave mongers, we got to free the slaves. And we had slaves up here, up North. And a lot of the slaves that were freed from the South, the Northern offered them jobs up there, slave wage jobs. So they're freed from being a slave in the South, only to become a slave up North. And the blacks want us to do away with that history, that understanding of history. Why, blacks? So you can become a slave again in the worst possible manner? Because you don't remember how it got that way and what became of it? Okay. Let me tell you, fellow blacks, you want to wage a civil war again against whitey in this country, you'll end up becoming an even worse slave as a consequence. Look at South Africa. Let's get rid of whitey by whatever means. Force them out to leave or kill them where they stand. One way or another, they want to get rid of all whitey. Granted, the whites were not Boy Scouts all the time towards the blacks down there, but neither were the blacks towards the whites. Fine, get everybody fired up down there, all the blacks fired up against the whites, and the day comes when, let's say, they get rid of all the whiteys out of South Africa, and all the blacks throughout the nation, South Africa, throw a big, massive party, nationwide party, everybody's so happy. But, you see, they got rid of whitey through intense hatred, a rage, a hatred, a vehemence, a rage. And although in the short to medium term, they'll be celebrating amongst themselves getting rid of whitey, but that rage, that hatred, that deep-seated genetic-based hatred ain't going away, my dear blacks. Once whitey's out of the picture, and once you all calm down from your celebrations, it'll be back to business as usual before whitey ever showed up to your country, before whitey ever showed up in your shores. Black versus black. Be tribe versus tribe. Clan versus clan. City versus city. Neighborhood versus neighborhood. Family versus family. Until you're all slaughtered. Till you've slaughtered yourselves. Because that level of hatred doesn't go away except through reconciliation through Jesus Christ and his blood shed for our sins, including the sins of racism. If you're a racist, I don't care if you're a white racist, black racist, yellow racist, whatever racist you are, you ain't getting past the pearly gates, even if you're a Christian. A claimed Christian, you ain't getting past the pearly gates because there is no racism in God's kingdom. If you're a Jew that adheres to the Talmud, all that dark stuff, and you're racist against everybody else because you're the chosen ones and only you are the ones that are going to inherit the earth. Okay. Everybody else is going to be killed off the planet so you can have it all to yourselves. That level of hatred will not subside. That level of hatred against others will turn inward against your own, your very own. As we read in the Old Testament, do you think all of Israel, the 12 tribes, were all happy campers with each other? If you read the scriptures, it's an easy 101. They weren't. was tribe against tribe, clan against clan, family against family. It was a sad mess. These were God's children, God's people, supposed to be called by his name, supposed to be living a higher standard of ethics and religious belief and being a light to the other peoples of the world. Instead, they turn inward, they tore each other apart, and even if there's nobody else standing and you're the only person left on the entire planet, who are you going to turn against next? Yourself. Because there's no one else that hatred can turn to but yourself, until you consume yourself with complete, utter hatred. Until you are consumed totally 100% back to when there was darkness upon the face of the abyss. Okay, the only resolution is through Jesus Christ, his blood atonement on the cross, and that includes racism, to wash that sin of racism away from us. And then we read here on Steve Quayle's website on today, this is June the 9th, so you'd have to go, by the time you hear this show, go back through his archives to June the 9th, but it's entitled Must Watch, Today Marks the End of the Petrodollar. Can you believe that, folks? So Nixon in 1971 cut this deal with Saudi Arabia, and which eventually evolved into the OPEC nations, right? Cut a deal, a petroleum deal, the petrodollar. 1971 was the birth of the petrodollar, because we were basically in 1971 had become bankrupt already. So remember in the Vietnam, you know, World War II cost a lot of money, right? And then you have the Korean War. It's sad that an economy can only remain vibrant through war. But that's what we actually as a nation turn to, is war. And one thing the powers that be here learn, that, okay, as long as the war is somewhere else, we can live like kings here in the United States and continue to finance and foment wars all over the world and steal their resources and kill their people and foment wars to do all this while we live as kings over here, because the wars won't touch us over here because we're so big and mighty and bad, but you know, America. So the nation was already bankrupt. So you have all these wars, and you have the Vietnam War, right? That's bleeding us dry. And at the same time, war, it's a issue of bread or bullets. When LBJ came into power, after the assassination of JFK, you have this mix of situations. So you have this war effort. LBJ was definitely in on the war of escalating the Vietnam. Kennedy wanted to wind it down and leave. Well, if you're the military industrial complex and the petro complex, you don't want that war to wind down. You want it to escalate because you're making big bucks. Okay. And getting to test new weapon systems on a people that who cares what happens to them kind of attitude. Kill them all if possible. You know, we make a lot of money, test new weapon systems. We're the biggest, baddest nation on the planet. Okay. So Vietnam War was escalated under LBJ. Gulf of Tonkin false flag to escalate Vietnam War, costing billions and billions of dollars and sending our boys and girls over there. Something like 58,000 lives lost. But now pales in comparison to how many lives have been lost due to this other war that's been fought in our most recent times, right here on U.S. soil, as well as soils of nations all over the world, called the COVID wars against all mankind, which we've lost a lot more people than Vietnam. You have this mix now of a wartime economy with a domestic economy, and they're not always in sync, okay? At the end of World War II, during the World War II era, this nation was at almost 100% employment of people and everything. This nation, Canada, was pumping out the stuff from A to Z, 100%, 24/7, 365. We were just pumping it out, okay? So we had factories doing this, and we had people employed in those factories. So when the war, World War II winds down, now you got all these factories are not needed anymore to make munitions, you know, and war machines. So you shut those factories down and lay those people off. So now you got a lot of unemployment that happened. So you foment another war, Korean War, but it didn't take off as big and bad as probably they were hoping it would be, so they could bail themselves out again to the tune of billions and billions. So then they came up with the Vietnam War too. Just keep rolling the dice, see what sticks, right? Throw this spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. So you have this disjointed, whereas World War II, everything was in sync, pumping out 24/7. But now after World War II, things start shutting down and it's not a nationwide pumping out anymore. So now you've got pockets of unemployment, pockets where people can't afford even the basics of life, food. On the other hand, you've got farmers that were in World War II pumping out the produce. But now they don't need to pump out the produce anymore. So what are they going to do with it? There's, you know, you're used to pumping it out. So the grains are getting sold. The livestock is getting sold because you can't sit on it forever. Okay. You got to sell at some point. So you got all this extra food, but not enough people are buying it because you got these massive pockets now of unemployment, where people are too poor to buy the food. And so farmers are dumping the milk, letting their crops go to waste, to say. So LBJ and his great society looked at this and, well, how do we get the food from the farmers to the people who can't afford it anymore? They came up with the welfare state. We got to feed these people. So it's not a bad solution, because if you start putting farmers out of business, people starve. And if you can't get what the farmers do produce to the people who need it, the people starve. So there were some good elements, some good reasonings behind the welfare state at that stage. So the end of the petrodollar, it'd be quite interesting to see what happened on Wall Street tomorrow. This is Monday. That'd be the 10th, June 10th, the 50-year contract between Saudi Arabia and U.S. for setting all oil trades in dollars ends today. That's Sunday, June the 9th. Notice the 9. Notice, I wonder, let's see, 2, 6. I don't know. You know, we got a 6 and a 9 in there. That's, again, 3, 6, 9. You know, 6 and 9. Boy. You kind of got the Luciferian numerology in all this. So when you think of certain dates being set, when the deep state gets into setting up contracts and this and that, and you know, like 33 million people affected, you know, 33 is a signature number to the dark side, the deep state, the Illuminati, et cetera. It's a signature number. So is it 32.6 million? Could they be a little more accurate than just 33 million or 66,000? You know, they're using that numerology. Or 6 million perished during the Holocaust. Not one more and not one less. Exactly 6 million. And if you don't agree with that, we're coming for you. You're going to pay and pay big. It's 6 million, not one more, not one less. When they resort to that, you know there's something fishy. Show me the proof of exactly 33 million such and such. Okay? They're playing the numbers, folks. They're playing the numbers according to the Illuminati number game, you know. So this is all in the run-up to reestablishing the Tower of Babel. There's more to the World War III. When 9/11 happened, 23 years later, we're coming up here to the 23rd anniversary. 9/11 here in this country, my theory is that the Pentagon, even back then in 1943, I think it was 43 or whenever the Pentagon was completed, that they sequestered one of the ancient beasts. This would be an alternate dimensional beast known as an eater of souls. Kind of like the lion of the forest. You grab that main lion of the forest, the lion out there, and you sequester that lion, and you poke and prod and deprive the lion and starve him to death, and you just increase its rage, its fury. And by tapping into its rage and fury, you become the world's leading superpower. But on 9/11, that beast was released. What struck the Pentagon on 9/11 was not a jumbo jet. There's not one shred of forensic evidence at all anywhere on the planet that what struck the Pentagon was a jumbo jet. It was a cruise missile fired by our own Navy. That's right, folks. By our own military, a cruise missile against our own DOD. Just makes you want to swear allegiance to the flag of the United States of Israel, of Esau, United States of Esau. Yep, they did it to us. And then they had 19 Arab patsies. Inside job assisted by an outside interest. Through and through. Just like Pearl Harbor. Inside job assisted by an outside interest. Just like October 7th. An inside job assisted by an outside interest. And they even want to, over there, criminalize anybody who says anything other than the official government narrative. They'll criminalize anybody that draws that into question. Fine you, imprison you, maybe eliminate you if you disagree with their narrative. Hey, that's purely satanic. It gives away their game, who they are, the serpent seed, the greatest democracy in the Middle East, our best friend in the Middle East, in on 9/11. In on their own October 7th, the greatest. So last time, I think I read something about Zionism. Let's see, was that in the book of Micah where God is going to plow Zion like a field? Today's Zionism is a false Zion, and God is going to plow it like a field. In other words, there's going to be nothing left of it. So all you Zionist Jews and Zionist Christians, you're going to be plowed under if you stay with that program. You're going to be plowed under and over, done away with by God himself in the book of Micah. Most people don't have a deeper understanding of the Tower of Babel story because there's only 9 verses in chapter 11, Genesis, right? So there's not very much there until you start picking it apart. And the path that God has had me on has helped right back in 1975, blew the barn doors off my understanding of the Tower of Babel. So Richard E. Mooney of the book Colony, Earth, he thought of what he writes about. He kind of placed it like in the pre-flood era. But so even he didn't have an understanding of the Tower of Babel. But in my understanding, even then, of the Noah's flood, and then a big question mark at that time over the Tower of Babel, but in reading his book, it made more sense that what he was talking about was after Noah's flood, in the run-up to and including and after the Tower of Babel incident. It's like my eyes were barn doors blown off my understanding of things, my eyes opened fully. Remember this duality, my eyes open, that would happen. I was 75, so it would be 79 when that happened, going deeper into things. So Isaiah 24 is one of those chapters that traditionally has been regarded, well, that has to be a Noah's flood situation. Well, when you carefully read through this, there's a number of things here that just don't add up to Noah's flood. And Diana mentioned one of them, and it says here that the city of confusion. Well, that's been identified as the Tower of Babel, the city, the Tower of Babel. Okay, I keep saying Babel. Okay, Babel, the Tower of Babel. This chapter just reeks of the Tower of Babel. But because most people don't know about the Tower of Babel and what happened, the depth of it, they think it happened during the flood. So imagine how many books have been written, how much research has been done, and has been misidentified to the flood when in fact it should have been relegated to the Tower of Babel. So I encourage everybody to read through Isaiah 24 very, very carefully. And there's a lot going on here. The earth is violently broken. This is verse 19. Broken. Does that sound like earthquakes to anybody? Okay. The earth is split open. My goodness. Split open. This is more than just an earthquake. This is a massive breaking up. The earth is shaken exceedingly. Do you think that's just a 4.5 earthquake, folks? If the earth is shaken exceedingly, and the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, remember, in this fallen one-third, we live in a closed-loop reality. That history that we are condemned to repeat the past because we're in a closed-loop reality. That's the fallen one-third, folks, that we're in. But Jesus provided a way of escape. He is the only one to get out of this endless loop reality. And when God is done, he put an expiration date on it. And when that expiration date comes, that endless loop will be repeated as per his rightful white throne judgments in the lake of fire. So if you don't like this endless loop reality you're living in right now, imagine what that lake of fire is going to be like. An absolute endless treadmill to nowhere. An endless horror freak show. Over and over and over. And all the afflictions of the demons and the fallen angels and all the other cast of bad characters. Endless repeat cycle. The only way out is through Jesus Christ, folks. So when we read this and then we go to Revelation, the sixth seal. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth. And last time talked about that, Charles Hapgood, that when the earth does its thing there, it can look like the stars fall into the earth. As a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind, then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. That's a huge bingo right there. When we read Charles Hapgood on crustal displacement, it's happened before, and it's prophesied to happen again, but even more so in the sixth seal. Okay, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and the rocks and the mountains, like, good luck hiding yourselves. Even that's not going to work for you. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So even though they go into the caves and rocks and they're deep underground bunkers, right? They come to the realization there's no way out of this, just collapse it all. So they're thinking that if it collapses on us and kills us all, we won't have to face the judgment. But they're wrong. See, they're thinking carnally with their carnal minds. And they're thinking once you're dead, you're dead. There's nothing beyond this life. They're going to be wrong. There is a judgment that awaits them. And then we get to Revelation 16, seventh bowl. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Verse 20 says, then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. So Mark Zuckerberg building his deep underground bunker on one of those islands over there in Hawaii. Goodbye, Hawaiian Islands. Goodbye, Mark Zuckerberg. You're not going to escape this judgment except through Jesus Christ, Mark. I'm sorry. Even if you're a chosen one, there's no escape for you except through Jesus Christ. This will be your fate. But can you imagine all islands not there anymore in the mountains? You think of the highest mountains, the Rockies, the Himalayas, Andes, you know, think of all these high mountains, the highest Mount Everest, okay, gone. But where'd they go to? What happens? Because the earth is so shaken violently that even the mountains collapse into the ground. You know, like in earthquakes, they call it the liquefaction of the soils and rocks, okay, liquefaction. So normally you're standing on, like, let's say solid concrete or asphalt or on your ground, your backyard or something, you know, solid, right? But when the earthquake happens, those vibrations, it's like the woodpecker effect, the blender effect, the hammer drill effect, a hammer drill that can, if you got a hammer drill or jackhammer, you can turn that concrete like a knife through butter. Okay. You can liquefy the soil, liquefy that concrete, liquefy the rocks, and presto changeo, you've sunk. That's basically kind of like what happened. The earth opened up and swallowed all those people in the wilderness. Those that were grumbling, complaining repeatedly, and even wanted to go back to Egypt. God opened up the earth. There they go. Swallowed them up. What a fate, huh? So don't be a grumbling or a complainer. Don't be contentious. If you can't say something good, don't say anything. Anyway, so those are modern things that are going on today that are we are soon going to face. What happens tomorrow, Monday, when there's no more petrodollar? Why is the White House put up all this high-tech fencing around it and a razor wire and everything, anticipating what? Mass riots? Are people going to be rioting in Washington, D.C. or coming to Washington, D.C. and massively rioting and trying to storm the White House? You know, and that includes monitoring 24/7. What's the government anticipating? Unless they already know what's going to happen. I think this year, 2024, again, the 23rd year of Jeremiah, this is it, folks.
This episode will be continued in Part C.